The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Hello and a very warm welcome. It's Pod 23. That's right, The Offside Rule, We Get It with you for a 23rd time this season. What an achievement, ladies. Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen. Eloquent, elegant, and also enigmatic. I've gone all ease for you two today. How are we, ladies?
Very well. 23 is my lucky number.
Is it really? Oh.
Yeah, that's my lucky number.
Mine's 22.
Yeah. You're a perfect pair, you two. What's coming up on today's show? Well, we're going to be discussing football chants. We promised this a couple of weeks ago with Hayley. We've decided, well, Lindsay decided, that football chants are a bit rubbish these days. We need some more originality. We need some good old British humour back on the terraces. In fact, it doesn't even have to be British humour. I'll take anyone's humour.
I just think they got a bit stale. That's what my complaint was that there weren't that many new ones. Although I have discovered a new one this week, which I'll share with you. And I know that you both are going to try and entertain me with your own ones.
I'm slightly worried about this because I have made them up to some pop tunes, to be quite frank. And I'm worried about the fact that if I sing them on my own in this room, in my spare bedroom with just two other people, they're not going to go down as well as if I try to initiate it on the terraces. So I'm slightly concerned. Anyway, we are going to go for the chance chart, ladies. We want to know what your best chants are. And actually, if you're listening at home, do get them in over Twitter as well, at Offside Rule Pod. Just to let you know, actually, before I tell you what else is coming up, we've got a great website, offsideruepodcast.com. You can listen to us via Audio Boom and iTunes. Every Thursday is when we release. And we are looked after and supported by the very lovely Continental Tires, who get you safely to the game.
The female take on football.
As well as chance chart, we'll also be talking top of the transfers. So who do we like the look of from the transfers so far? Maybe it's someone who's already made that debut for the club that they've newly been signed by. I'd just like to know what you think a couple of the best bits of business are so far, one in the Premier League and one outside the Premier League, if you can. But we're going to start off with manager mouthpiece. It's not unusual to hear from managers during the week, but what we have done this week, I think anyway, is we've heard some quite unusual things from some of the managers. Some of them have been quite forthright. Some of them have come up with little nuggets that we've not heard from them before. So I'd like anything that's come out of a manager's mouthpiece this week that struck you or that's got you thinking about what they've had to say. Hayley, let's start with you on this one.
Well, I kind of wanted to use this to go back into something that was said around about Christmas time by Mauricio Pochettino. And normally when managers are asked about something, they have their standard, you know, their standard answers to the questions from the assembled press. They know what they're going to be asked, so they've managed to prep. And he was asked if a top four finish for Spurs would be tempered by bitter rivals Arsenal, lifting the title before reeling off a bit of a crazy quote. So obviously it was all about the rivalry between Spurs and Arsenal. The journalist kind of wanted to know his thoughts on it. And he said, I think it's like what Britney Spears and Will.i.am sing. So both of them, Britney and Will.i.am. He said, everybody in the club, all eyes on us, all eyes on us. He could have just said it's like a song. No, or he could have just said, you know, I feel that all eyes are on us. But he decided that he wanted to bring in his probably two favourite artists and use Will.i.am and Britney Spears.
I'll tell you, we've been scratching our heads over chants. He's just given us a chant there. All eyes on us, all eyes on us. In the club, whatever it is, all eyes on us. Yes.
With my buddies in the club.
I was going to say, I think it's in the club.
In the club. Sorry.
Yeah, yes. Not the club.
Lindsay, a couple from you. In fact, I wanted to ask you something about Wenger, because you often are at the Wenger press conference every Friday. He's always supposed to get there at 9:30. He's always late, which always impacts on everyone's deadlines, especially if you've got a 12 o'clock news bulletin. He sends journalists into a complete tither as they try and get everything down and work out what they're going to use from what he's had to say. And actually, most of the time, he's pretty okay. Sometimes he comes out with a few good lines, but he's pretty predictable in terms of the fact that if you've been to five or more of his press conferences, you've got a good idea of how it's going to go. But I wonder whether it's his advancing years or whether it's the fact that he knows he's in a strong position or that he just can't be bothered with any of the mulch that comes around a lot of Premier League press conferences. I wonder if you would agree with me that he's now more straight, more definitive than he's ever been before.
I think you're probably onto something in the last 12 months. I mean, I was there last week and I will talk about something that he said. And I am constantly thinking nowadays that he doesn't shirk any of the questions anymore, and you don't feel like he's dodging anything. Yeah. And one of the examples is everything that you could possibly have a moan at this season. So when everyone was on the bandwagon of wanting a winter break, and Van Gaal was saying he wanted one, and Pochettino, I think, said he would like one, and Wenger very quickly said, no, I love playing over Christmas. But he never used to... Well, I don't know whether he ever used to say that he would want a winter break, but he's never been as forthright as saying, I don't want a winter break. And he has this time. The other thing that he's done is he's admitted, should we have a klaxon here? Like a Wenger honesty klaxon, that he was wrong on something. And that would be my manager quote of the week, was being at Wenger's press conference on Friday with them going to Stoke City, which has always been a poor hunting ground for them. It was put to him whether he'd changed his mind about Leicester City being title contenders, and he admitted he had. He said that he had not seen them as title contenders, but that he'd changed his mind and that now he does think that they are going for the title. And I thought, actually, this isn't something that we would hear him do very often in the past, is retract on something or correct a statement. Mm. He has been doing that. My other little moan about the week, it comes in also tragic circumstances. I think I appreciate sometimes that occasionally journalists will go off kilt. You'll go off football for certain reasons. Mm. And one of those reasons, very recently, we had the awful Paris attacks. Mm. And Wenger, I thought, it's when he's at his best. He gave a poignant message about what it meant to him, how he felt everyone was affected, how he was in Paris at the time. And it felt very relevant because also those Paris attacks were aimed at the Stade de France. So I think you can link it in with football. And I think he was a really good spokesperson for it. And a lot of news channels, as did Hayley McQueen's, ran that line, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. And we thought it was important because obviously one of the attacks was at the Stade de France. But it wasn't, even if that hadn't have been there when there was football obviously being played, I just still think it was something that affected everybody. Mm. And sometimes some news does make its way over to football, just as football makes headlines in news, like Sky Sports News and Sky News kind of coming together. And I think, that was one time when we definitely used a manager's quotes and kind of maybe reached youngsters who didn't really know too much about the situation, might not have been educated on terrorism, and think, I'm a big Arsenal fan, I love Wenger, and maybe educated on something they weren't aware about.
And without the football connection, it still happened in Paris, and Wenger is French, and you have that connection, it makes it relevant. But I think this last week, it's gone too far. Why do we need to hear from football managers about David Bowie passing away? Why? Why do we need to hear that? Now, Wenger was asked about that the week just gone. Why do I want to know what Wenger thought about that? I don't, he's not got any connection to music. I don't understand where we draw the line. Why do we need to have a football manager's point on that? Mm.
Again, it was something completely off topic, but I thought it was very funny. And actually, thank goodness the journalist took it in a humorous way when Louis van Gaal called Neil Custis fat man. So it was after the 3-3 draw against Newcastle, and journalists had been asking about Wayne Rooney and his goal scoring. He's like, we don't speak any more about Wayne Rooney. You've criticised him. I don't. You. And he was basically saying, nobody's asking me about Wayne Rooney anymore because now he suddenly started scoring goals 4-4. He's on a bit of a goal scoring run. And there was a bit of an exchange between some of the journalists, and quite often, he has a bit of banter back. That's how it started. Now he gets up and walks off, doesn't he? And he's known to kind of walk out of press conference situation. You think, that's a shame. Just take it, take it. But you've got to give as good as you get. So this happened with Neil Custis, and he went, you too. Van Gaal responded when Neil Custis was speaking back to him, and he pointed at the room and said, fat man there. So he'd obviously found Neil Custis and kind of pointed him out. And actually, Neil he's a brilliant journalist. I get mixed up with him and his brother, but now I know he is slightly larger than his brother. He said it's a bit of a shame because he has had a massive knee operation a few months ago, and he hasn't been able to be as mobile as he can be. He's having a dry January, and he said, to be honest, I do need to lose a few pounds, but it maybe hit a little bit of a sore spot, but he still took it on the chin. Yeah. Or he said, I took it on the chin. Should have been chins. He said, you know what, Louis? He said, you've got to get more points than I lose pounds. Oh. So they've come up with this points versus kind of pounds thing. So I know it wasn't just a quote, but it was where a manager and a journalist had a bit of an exchange that was slightly amusing.
I like that very much. Points versus pounds. We like it. We've heard a lot from Brendan Rodgers this week. He was on Goals on Sunday. A couple of quotes to come out of that one. The fact that it was Fenway Sports Group, nothing to do with Rodgers, that they wanted to buy Balotelli, and FSG thought that Balotelli could be turned into a £50 million player by Rodgers. Okay. And also that Rodgers thought that they were very close to getting Alexis Sanchez and Dele Alli as well. That would have been tasty. Of course, that's the kind of thing that you don't want to hear as a Liverpool fan. I don't want to hear about the ones you didn't get. Thank you very much. We've also this week heard Roberto Martinez's reaction to that 98th minute goal by John Terry in the Everton-Chelsea draw. Now, I think, and I don't know about you ladies, I wanted to run this by you. I think we've lost football's Mr. Nice Guy. He was asked how he was feeling and he said anger, pure anger. Now, for Martinez to have said that, can you imagine him saying that as manager of Wigan 5 or 6 years ago? Pure anger. These are strong lines from Martinez. And all that you hear about Martinez is such a lovely guy, such a nice man, such an honourable man. So I wonder if we're seeing kind of a more, you know, ballsy, forthright Martinez. No more football's Mr. Nice Guy.
Whereas Wenger's becoming Mr. Nice Guy. Did you see, I loved Wenger and Klopp on the sidelines in the draw that was between Arsenal and Liverpool. But they were enjoying it so much. I love seeing passion on the sidelines. And, you know, Wenger's been in that job a long time. You could think it could get a bit repetitive.
No.
But actually, I really liked watching that game and watching them.
Yeah. It's interesting because this week we also heard from Louis van Gaal, who said that actually he used to be quite remonstrative on the touchline. He used to wave his arms around a bit when he was speaking about Jurgen Klopp. And he said, but now he doesn't do it because he realises it doesn't have any effect on the referee at all if they start, you know, shouting argy-bargy on the touchline. And he gave the example of a game that he was involved in when he was managing Ajax. It was a Champions League final win over AC Milan in 95. And he said he got so annoyed about a decision because there was a high tackle that he decided or took it upon himself to demonstrate the high tackle to the linesman who was very close to him and did sort of effectively a karate kick with his foot ending up not more than an inch away from the linesman or the referee's face, as if to say, look, it was like this. He said, I realised when it didn't work that I should probably just calm down.
Whilst we're on the topic of Jurgen Klopp, if we're going to have manager quotes of the week, quote unquote, we've got to have Jurgen Klopp likening Sir Alex Ferguson to John Lennon.
Yeah. I know, that is outrageous. Really? Really?
Follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod and like our page on Facebook. Simply type in the Offside Rule We Get It. There's only one of us.
Let's go into a bit of chance charting, shall we, ladies? Lindsay, this was a complaint raised by your good self in the board meeting in the podcast a couple of weeks ago. The chants aren't good enough for Lindsay Hooper, so we've had to come up with a few of our own. Well, Hayley and I have attempted that. Goodness knows what it's going to sound like later on. Please forgive our awful voices. And Hayley and Lindsay, you've picked out a couple that you like.
Yeah, if I can also say about my complaint about the chants, that if you really do listen, they are out there. It's just, I think we need a bit more diction. A bit more diction from people.
Yes, yeah. They are hard to hear sometimes, particularly if you're hard of hearing anyway. But also, we heard a bad chant last week as well in the Arsenal-Stoke City game. The Stoke City fans singing Aaron Ramsey, who walks with a limp, who walks with a limp, which is just mean. That is not the kind of chanting that we were after.
Well, sticking with the Arsenal theme, because it was just brilliant timing for this topic, by the way. And this came up a couple of weeks ago on a podcast when Hayley was on it before, didn't it? So this is a complete fluke. But I sat down to do an interview with Per Mertesacker this week. And part of my research brought to my attention that there is a brand new chant for Mertesacker. Now, we all know the very, very rude version, which we couldn't even put in the podcast, where he has a song where he's renowned as being the BFG. If you don't know what that's all about, I suggest you go on Google and have a look. But the BFG chant may be no more, because there is a brand new chant and it's only surfaced, as far as I'm aware, this calendar year, 2016, brand new. So I thought, I'll bring it up and see if he's heard it, which he hasn't. He's yet to hear his brand new chant, but it has been caught on video and it's Mertesacker to the Macarena. So, hey, Mertesacker. Yeah. Pema Tosaka. And then they do the dance. A one and a two and a three, but Tosaka. Anyway, it's brilliant if you can find the video. So I've now made him aware of this. And anyone who came up with this chant, if you happen to download the Offside Rule podcast, he's going to be looking out for it, he tells me. He said he wants to see it in its full glory.
So do I now. Get me to the Emirates. I do like a sarcastic chant, particularly. This is a general one, but if your side is doing really badly in a game, let's pretend we scored a goal. Let's pretend we scored. I love a bit of sarcasm. How about the one that Bristol Rovers fans aimed at Jermaine Easter? You're not as good as Christmas. You're not as good as Christmas. Celtic fans to the Rangers fan, what's that coming over the hill? Is it a tax man? Is it a tax man? And a favourite Liverpool one here, although there are many incarnations of it. Don't blame it on the Hammam. Don't blame it on the Biscan. Don't blame it on the Finnan. Blame it on Traore. An old one there for the Liverpool fans. Hayley, what have you got?
A couple, actually, but one of that I really liked when La Marseillaise was obviously sung. We've already mentioned the Paris attacks. The French national anthem played before every game in the Premier League the other month. And Ou Cantona was getting sung quite a lot in the Manchester United game, obviously with him being French. And then they decided to adapt that and they changed it to Ouha Herrera. And they made up this little song and apparently he was really taken, and you always wonder if players on the pitch can hear the crowd chanting your name, or even if you're kind of listening, you may hear somebody if you're right over at the sidelines just shouting out if their voice can be heard over others. But sometimes when there's tens of thousands, especially at, you know, Old Trafford, if they can actually hear it or not. And he said afterwards, oh, he's my absolute ultimate hero of all time. So to have had my name sung alongside the likes of Eric Cantona, he said, like, it really touched me. And it was like, oh, so you actually heard it then, you could hear, and he's like, yeah, you I really can. And he was like, oh, hope it doesn't become a bit of a distraction, but he's like, I love, you know, fans chanting my name. That's what every kid dreams of, isn't it? So yeah, I quite like that. One of my absolute favorites, this was quite popular when Scotland were playing Italy in a World Cup qualifier in March, a good few years ago. Obviously, they don't qualify for anything these days, not least the Euros either. And they were singing, we're going to deep fry your pizzas, deep fry your pizzas. Because obviously in Scotland, they're known for deep frying everything from cream eggs this time of year and Mars bars sort of 365 days a year, really. Yeah.
Shall I give you one of mine? Okay, so I made up one for Fellaini, and I was out with my son pushing the pram up the high street over the weekend, and I don't know why this came to me. I don't know why I've chosen Fellaini. I just had an image in my head and I came up with a song and I thought this would be great for Fellaini. So, okay, here we go. To the tune of a well-known song by, well, it was covered by Timmy Mallett.
For those of a certain generation, yeah. You're probably going to have to get onto a search engine and find out who
this
man is.
It's going to make no sense to you whatsoever. He wore an itsy-bitsy, curly-whirly, crazy corkscrew perm for Fellaini, but he used it much better before. And that was as far as I got. But I quite like the itsy-bitsy, curly-whirly, crazy corkscrew perm for Fellaini. So that was one of them. I've got three. Then I thought about bringing a bit of modern pop into it. The sort of stuff that my daughter listens to now. I'm far too old for this stuff, but I thought about a wrecking ball. So I came up with this for Branislav Ivanovic. Oh. He came in like a wrecking ball. He never saw so rough a touch. All he wanted to do was break our legs. He's Branislav Ivanovic.
Wow. And if you haven't tuned out already, thank you very much.
How tuneful do you think the football fans are? And also, when I give you some examples of my favourite ones, the renowned theme here is that they're very simple to remember.
I know. Well, that's actually the words to Wrecking Ball, but just a few changes. Yeah. Like, it's pretty much Wrecking Ball, but just with a few. Branislav Ivanovic.
I'm just picturing him in like a onesie, just swinging from a wrecking ball, like Miley Cyrus. Yeah. I've got one for Messi, which I think he should sing to Cristiano Ronaldo in that famous child sort of song, you know, one potato, two potato, yeah. Three potato, four. So one ballon, two ballon, three ballon d'or, four ballon, five ballon, I've got more. Like it? There you go.
I do like that one. Have you got another favourite hoops?
Yeah, I'm going to mention a couple of my favourites that have been and gone. We all know them, but I think part of the key here, girls, just to give you, I think both of them were very good, actually. But you go for a tune that everyone knows, and you go for simple words. Maybe you were part there, Kate.
You're entirely looking at me when you say this.
But it's a little bit like, when you're sat in Rosette and the bull hits your head, that's Zamora. Mm-hmm.
So which song's that, sorry?
That's the Anyway, I used to really like that one from all the Fulham fans about Bobby Zamora. There was the very famous one as well, Luis Suarez, your teeth are offside, your teeth are offside. Love that one. Being a former Wolves player as well, I have to mention Robbie Keane. When he was at Liverpool, he's fast, he's red, he talks like Father Ted, Robbie Keane. I like that one.
I love that one. I've got one final one that I made up, but I'm a bit nervous about this one. Do you think we can try and sing it together? Do you both know Cheerleader? So I'm going to have a go at this and then you can join in. Say, oh, I think I am happy now we've got Jurgen Klopp. He is always right there when you need him.
Say, oh, I think I am happy now we've got Jurgen Klopp. He's always right there when you need him.
See, simple, tuneful? Yeah, it didn't quite work.
The fact there's a bit of a melody there, that's just too complicated, especially for the Liverpool fans, Kate.
Many famous singers come from Liverpool. I think they could, a bit like the Cardiff fans. I have no problem giving a tuneful song to Cardiff fans, the good Welsh tones.
Well, Gary Neville's now got a smile on his face, as have I, after, of course, beating Liverpool, Kate's team. 1-0 with Wayne Rooney scoring the winning goal. It was probably the worst Liverpool-Man United game I've seen in years. Wow. Normally, obviously, if you lose, you would think that would be terrible, the worst game, but just the fact that it was dull.
Well, even as a Liverpool fan, we'll say the best thing about that game was the quality of the goal. That was probably the only saving grace, wasn't it?
I mean, okay, so it wasn't that dull, but it was just... Yeah, it was. Just because it was live on Sky, I thought I'd best be seen to be trying to promote things, you know, in a positive way. Trying to promote Gary Neville in a positive way is becoming very hard indeed. But he'd have had a bit of a smile on his face. But Gary Neville's famous song, you know, Gary Neville is a red, is a red, is a red. Gary Neville is a red. He hates Scousers. Yeah. So this is a new song for him now. Gary Neville is a red. He hates winning. Did you get it? Yeah.
I see.
Sorry, Gary.
Poor old Gary. I'm sure it will get better.
Hi, I'm Jeff Stelling, and you're listening to The Offside Rule. Three women talking about football. I'm used to listening to four old women talking about football on Saturday afternoons, so I'll definitely prefer this.
All right, let's go to top of the transfers. A quick chat to round this podcast up, ladies, about transfers that have caught your attention and perhaps players that have made their debut already. So pick your two best transfers of the window so far as we reflect kind of halfway through. One Premier League, please, and one other transfer. I'm going to wade straight in there with Jonjo Shelvey. Great debut for him for Newcastle. He's been called the new Johan Cabaye by a couple of Newcastle fans. I don't know whether it's a little bit early for that, but Newcastle fans certainly very happy with him. And I think what they're most happy with is that he could well be the player that sort of knits it together, but also keeps them pushing forward as well. Because I think that one of the problems with the Newcastle side is they've kind of don't push forward enough, do they? They sort of pass sideways, pass back very well, don't necessarily play the most direct game. So I think for him, in terms of keeping possession and keeping the ball amongst the Liverpool team, that could be a very good move for them. Hayley?
Well, I've got a team that have done pretty good business at the moment. Sorry to say, Lindsay, that they've stolen one of yours in Benik Afobe from Wolves. Record signing, 10 million. But they've also secured the services of Lewis Gramford as well from Norwich. And Juan Iturbe. I was trying to make up a song about Iturbe as well, but that didn't quite go to plan. But Benik Afobe, so I mean, what a great game for him. Obviously, the fans very excited about him joining. Record fee, you expect a lot of him. He's still very young, just like 22.
I can't hear this. I can't listen.
However, you do have something to redeem Wolves by, though, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, one of mine from down the leagues outside the Premier League would be Zyro, who's this Polish striker that we signed. Now, I don't know whether this was within the transfer window because we signed him. Was it at the very start of this window? I think it might have come before this window opened, actually, and the signing. But anyway, I'm going with that. Mikel. How do I say it in Polish? Mikel?
Mikel.
Mikel Zyro. I think he looks really good. So a phobie, we're not going to miss him. 10 million cash in, that's cool.
The reason I picked him as well is because it's quite a sad story. He'd obviously watched his good friends and role models. He said Kieran Gibson, Jack Wilshere, not only break into the first team at Arsenal, but playing regularly, obviously, in the Premier League and for England. And he said, quote, "I feared my Premier League dream had died, that I would cry at night." He said, "No one knows how much it means to me to be in the Premier League after I thought that chance had gone. The only people who understand the struggle I've had to go through are my friends and family. So I'm really sorry. Just wasn't quite going to cut it with Wolves playing in the Premier League. But I think he's going to shine. And he's a player that appreciates what he's been given. He's not a player who's gone for the money. He's gone for the football.
I still like him. And actually, we were watching that game, myself, my mum and my dad, and I actually was cheering him on, wanting him to score. But having said that, he's gone now. He's departed. So my focus is now on Ziro. So go, Ziro. Let's get a champ for him, please.
Bournemouth have always supported their strikers very, very well. There's, you know, it's been a rich history there. Callum Wilson, Harry Arter as well, who both players who we mentioned last week. For me, I guess it's just making sure that he has enough chances to play. I know that typically always one of the Bournemouth forward line is out injured, so perhaps that then gives him his opportunity there. I'm going to go outside the Premier League and over to WSL. I know we've spoken about a couple of signings that caught your eye a few weeks ago, Lindsay. Karen Carney, one that we didn't mention at that time, going from Birmingham to Chelsea with over 100 caps. She's just one of those players that appears to have all the time in the world, doesn't she, when she's making her decisions on the pitch. Always very spot on. Pacey on that wing as well. So I think she's a great player. I know that you share this admiration of her as well. She's now very experienced, and it'll be interesting to see how she fits into that Chelsea side.
Oh, there is no doubt that she's a quality player. I do wonder, though, at this point in her career, whether Chelsea might have been better off going for a younger player coming through. Experience is always important, and I do think perhaps Karen's got another good quality couple of years to give, but we also know that she's had her problems with injuries. When she is fit, she is fantastic, brilliant player, but can you rely on her for a whole season? I don't know.
Note that Siobhan Chamberlain, or as the Americans like to call her, Sio Barn Chamberlain, has gone from Arsenal to Liverpool Ladies as well. Murray Houlihan, she's gone from Chelsea to Manchester City, so a few moves going on there, and a bit of speculation as well that agents are kind of taking over the WSL and perhaps inflating prices. We saw Fran Kirby move for a British record fee at the time when she went to Chelsea over the summer for between £40,000 and £60,000. So that seems like small change, doesn't it, when you think of the Premier League? But, however, there are a lot more moves now in women's football, and a lot more high-profile moves, and a lot more agents involved. So it'd be interesting to see how the FA perhaps get involved to try and not give all the agents the power.
We've got a little topsy-turvy because I did my one lower leagues earlier, so I'll do my Premier League one now. I'm picking out Charlie Austin to Southampton. Mm-hmm. I think Graziano Pella has gone off the boil somewhat with goals. And the thing is, in the Premier League, when you want a man to challenge for Europe, for a top 10 finish, there is one thing you definitely need. I'd say either end of the pitch, you need a very good goalkeeper, and you need someone who's going to score you goals. And at the moment, Southampton have had this wobbly spell. They seem to be coming out of it now, but they need to have their strikers on form. And if Graziano Pella isn't going to be providing those goals week in, week out, and you haven't got that hit man, that target man up front, then what you need to do is get reinforcements. And Charlie Austin is proven. He scored goals for QPR. I think he's naturally got that killer instinct when it comes to finishing off chances in front of goal. And he'll keep Pella on his toes as well. It probably will work very well. So I see Southampton having a really good rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly the same with Bournemouth as well. I think there's a couple of teams that I didn't expect to be near the relegation zone right now. And the fact that they've actually done something about it rather than just think, oh, we'll try and ride it out for the rest of the season and we'll hope that we don't drop down into the Championship, and, oh, we best not sign players in case we do get relegated, then we're left with sort of, you know, a big wage bill. I think it's quite exciting that the teams are just willing to take a bit of a punt, particularly with the likes of Bournemouth. Okay, they're not in the relegation zone, but they're not quite safe, are they? They're just a few points away from that. And it's really been a season of unpredictability, not just at the top, but at the bottom as well. I don't think you can predict anything right now.
All right. Well, on that, we will finish up proceedings for this podcast number 23. We'll be back next week with Mina Rizuki. She's been in Spain. I know she's been working very, very hard this January. So we'll see her, and we'll do a bit of a European football sort of tinted one next week, I think.
Is this going to be a regular thing that we throw forward to what we're going to talk about?
I don't know. I'm really just talking off my head. I'm just basically setting the agenda
talking
now.
Talking
off your head. I'm just talking off the top of my head.
She's always off her head.
Thanks.
On caffeine.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget the website, offsiderulepodcast.com. You can check us out on Twitter at offsiderulepod, our Facebook page, The Offside Rule, and you can listen and download us on iTunes and on Audio Boom every week. For now, get practicing with those chants, and we'll see you soon.
Yes! Oh, yes!
The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.